B-Pod Studios.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. We survived 2 o'clock hour. Barely. A lot of people disgruntled as the Eagles season built up with such promise of a Super Bowl appearance. Oh, my God, they're going to play Andy Reid's Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Well, all of a sudden, that combo has stopped. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corbley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, so I have a feeling they could beat Green Bay on Thursday. I'll have a better feel for Wednesday. Right now, the fact that the line went up to 4.5 is not good, Tyrone. It was posted originally at 3.5. I like the Eagles at that situation.
Most places don't have it at 4. Let's see how it rides out. Let's see how it goes. A lot of places had it at 4 to open. It's only half a point.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Car Wash in Germantown. Car Wash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Mike? What's going on,
buddy? What's going on, Car Wash?
Hey, now, you know, we talked on Friday, and I commended your show, you know, with the tailgaters and stuff like that. And I said, Mike, I don't see 14-2. I see 10-6. You said, already, Car Wash? I said, yeah, I see 10-6. But I don't want to pile on. I don't want to pile on about how horrible our cornerbacks is.
Yeah, they're not 10. Is the season over?
I didn't know whether you had
one of those future TVs that
No. Future not over by far. We definitely won't be Green Bay.
Okay.
But I think Vontae Maddox, number one, should have been starting the outside corner instead of Darby. Number two, I would love to have Bennett 9 sacks this year, but he's gone, and I would like to have some good interior linemen that could get healthy. But I want to talk to you about something that I asked you and Tyrone about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I presented the question to you. I said, Mike, we really need a solid running back like Ajayi that can catch the ball, that don't put it on the ground, that's physical between the tackles. I said, the knock on Howard is that he can't catch.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen, he's very slow hitting a hole, and I want to present something to you again. According to NFL Network, and I hate to keep bringing up the Super Bowl year, but we ran the ball RPO and rushing 43% of the time. Those numbers are way, way down. So I'm going to present the question to you again. We need Vitae, so I'm going to leave it out. If you could do it, would you give up Aguilar and a second-round pick for Melvin Gordon? Somebody, maybe he doesn't stay healthy, but he stays healthy as much as Ajayi does. Would you trade for him? He can catch the ball. He can run between the tackles. He doesn't fumble. We need a solid running game to take the pressure off of Carson Wentz.
I would do that.
Yeah, we need a mic.
Now here's the only problem. You deplete your receiving corps completely. So who plays in the slot? Who's your slot receiver now?
Mike. Then if you don't want to give up him, then give up.
No, I like giving him up. I'm just asking you. Like, you got to have a plan to replace the slot receiver.
I know you're gonna say he can't catch, but listen,
JJ Ortega Whiteside.
You're gonna have to let these guys get playing experience. Listen, We made a valiant effort to win with what we had yesterday. These guys have to get some experience.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you about Miles Sanders. I listened to Brian Westbrook. I don't miss your show never because I enjoy it so much, especially my kids and I on General Niles Wednesday. Listen, what I'm saying is Westbrook said it. He said, look, Miles Sanders, he's still raw. He looks to bounce everything to the outside. So what he has to learn is to go up in the hole first and then make your way to the outside.
Yeah, he went in the hole this time and fumbled. But both times he went in the hole. Right?
Yeah.
Now, what did I say about Miles Sanders when they drafted him?
Well, you said he fumbled a lot.
Fumbled in college a lot and didn't dazzle me as running back. They loved him. Oh, my God, Miles Sanders, this Miles Sanders, that. Fumbled in college. He's in the NFL. It's a big boy league now.
He hasn't made the necessary adjustment.
No, he hasn't.
Now, but Car Wash's math was bad. They called 26 running back runs. Carson mm-hmm. ran 4 times. 3 of them design runs. And they passed 36 times. They ran 42%. In a game which they trailed a large part, the ratio was not the issue. Who was running the ball was the issue, but But the ratio, they did not pass too much yesterday. It's just factually inaccurate.
This is really a weird running back situation now, though, because now you got a guy you can't trust because he puts a ball on the floor. You got a guy that you apparently don't like, and all of a sudden, Darren Sproles became 46 now in three games.
The good thing is you might get a back on Thursday. You might need to use
Clement.
Him. You probably have to use him because not because he's a star, because you can trust him. He can catch, and he doesn't fumble. And right now, they haven't used him at all. Week one, they didn't use him. Then he got hurt. It might be time to use him. The shoulder's off. He's out of the sling. I think you might have to use him. And he's in his prime physically. And he knows the offense. I think they have to take him off from off balls.
I got it. It's not like you're putting Todd Gurley in there. He's an okay back.
But just think about this game if he just doesn't fumble. Same everything, but he just does. It's a different game.
Okay.
You win the game.
Let's go to Lou in Norristown. Lou, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lou.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Lou? Chill.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Clemson and Howie is the same guy. They overvalued. They got Deshaun Jackson. They say we had a great offseason. They overvalued. And what's up with Goddard dropping the ball? I thought Goddard was going to be, they said, a great tight end. I don't see it, Mike.
That was a terrible drop. Now, again, you never know how injuries affect guys mentally. You know, whether it affects their concentration, because he was, he's got a bad calf. That's no excuse, I know, but still, it affects you mentally as far as your confidence goes.
The offensive line, defensive line is horrible, and the cornerbacks are horrible. They need to, they let Bennett go, and they let Long retire.
Listen, letting both of them go, I don't think it was that bad a move, to be honest with you. How did you know how much Bennett or Long had left? It's not like you weren't bringing back guys in their prime. You take a chance. You moved on.
Yeah, but Barnett and the other boy, Graham, is not giving us anything.
No, you're right. Graham and Barnett are not giving you anything. Graham looks like he's on the other side. Barnett doesn't look like he's sturdy enough.
Yeah.
All right, Lou. It's problematic. Their backups are inferior. Curry's just a guy. Josh Sweat. They can't play. Sharif Miller.
Might be time for Hall to play. Put Sweat on the bench, deactivate him.
With Sweat, and I tweeted it out, what a feeble effort on that kickoff return.
Yeah, he was a big part of the problem.
Feeble effort. He didn't look like he wouldn't answer the guy when he was headed towards the sideline.
You're absolutely right. And all you kicker defenders, you should call Mike today.
Well, did he run away?
Ran away from it. Like, it's, at least try to give it a hand, turn him inside. He ran away from it. Like, my goodness. And all the people that said Carly Lloyd could be a kicker, Carly Lloyd could do what
That's
he
exactly
did.
What
just
I was
run
thinking.
Away from it and not worry about getting... He ran away from getting blocked. All you have to do is put your body outside and hope that he goes inside and someone makes a tackle. Instead, he retreated to the goalpost. It was pathetic.
Yeah, but the punter guy stuck his face
in
there.
Yeah, he did. And then talked trash after.
The Aussie.
Yeah, he stuck his nose in there. You talked about the Pro Bowl. He's making the Pro Bowl.
I
he's
told
a good
you.
Punter.
He's your
you
Pro Bowl. He's your lone Pro Bowler.
He's your Pro Bowler.
Tyrone in Philly. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? How you doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad, Mike. So let me first start talking about the Eagles, man. I mean, Carson Wentz, man, he was throwing some hot potatoes out there, man. Like, did you see the wide receivers, man? They're like hot. Next thing you know, the ball on the ground, Mike.
Is that Carson Wentz's fault that he hits a guy in the hands?
It wasn't Carson Wentz's fault though, man. It's the wide receivers not catching the hot potatoes.
Well, that's what I mean. Man. See, these guys don't have any confidence. And part of being a confident, either you stink or confidence can even be instilled in you by a coaching staff. And it doesn't look like a guy like Mac Hollins talks about special teams being favorable to special teams. He doesn't have enough confidence to go out there and make plays.
Exactly, Mike. Like, I don't know what they were doing on the sidelines, if they was eating some extra butter popcorn or something, Mike, but they was just dropping the ball, Mike. It wasn't a good sight, man. It was like, that one bad childhood dream you have, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just see, it just doesn't happen, man. Like, it's like you're wishing for, you know, an Xbox or something for Christmas, and then next thing you know, your mom's like, "Mom, we can't afford that. Can't afford that Xbox." T-Rone, like, you shot.
No, listen, like, I hear you. Somewhere along the line, you got to draft a guy who can just play at the next level, like right
away.
I mean,
we got Deshaun Jackson, though, man. He's just scared to play football. I don't know what's going on.
Well, he's not scared to play football. Huh? He's 32 years old. He's got a groin problem, man. Come on.
Man, he always having some kind of problem, man.
Well, he's slight. He's 180 pounds. What do you know? He's going to get banged up. Now he's 32. You know how the muscles go when you get to be over 30?
Playing that
NFL
is
football,
true, man.
You get worn down.
That is true, man. But, I mean, Zach Ertz, though, man, like, you know, he used to be like a mouse running under the couch getting some cheese or something. You know, like, I don't know if the, you know, if the defense put out like some mouse traps or something, but.
Well, they're double team. They're bracketing him every on most possessions. He made some catches.
Jamal Ertz.
Yeah, you're not an Ertz fan, are you?
I am. I'm not one of these people to say he never breaks a tackle, mm-hmm. but and I'm sure he's exhausted because he's playing like every down now mm-hmm. with Goddard out. But there was a couple plays in small windows, and he loses a lot of those 50-50s across the middle. I know it's hard, and it's a high mm-hmm. bar, but he has to. There was a couple plays I thought they weren't drops, but they were plays that could have been made that would have moved the chains, mm-hmm. and he doesn't do that. Like if you had people ask Kelce or him, I always say Kelce. Because when I see the Chiefs, I see Kelce get those kind of catches that Ertz don't.
Yeah, he's a little tougher.
That's how it seems. I don't want to question the NFL player's toughness, but some of those catches in those small windows, go get that.
Yeah.
Help your offense out a little bit. And that's what bothers me a little bit.
You know, I'm looking at Ortega Whiteside, and he looks like he's got this look on him like, oh, man, this isn't the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't – there's no presence about him, even though he's a big guy and – like, he doesn't have a swag about him.
Yeah, I got him. He's got to clean the toilets at Club Tyrone.
Really?
He's still in, but
wow.
He's on toilet.
You've been on him, like, quicker than any Club Tyrone member.
I really didn't like the first game, and I liked the second game worse.
Usually, you know, you're a staunch supporter. You give Club Tyrone members a chance. You bailed on this dude.
His mom.
Was it the Ortega thing?
That hurts. There's three things that hurt. That hurts a lot. His mom with the umbrella. At training camp, that's 2.5 strikes.
Wait, like, what?
Yeah, holding an umbrella over him when it was hot at training camp.
Oh.
I don't care for that. That's 2.5 strikes. And then I've never seen a guy miss a ball with his hands and it go off his wrist before in the NFL. That's Little League. I was at Pennsauken's high school game. Guys are catching it. It's not going off the wrist.
See, a guy with confidence makes that catch. A guy who doubts himself doesn't make that catch. Because either way, it's contested. So a guy with confidence has to have more confidence than the guy contesting you. In this case, it was the opposite.
And he said he went up expecting contact, which scares mm-hmm. me because it's like, are you worried about contact?
It's like somebody who's afraid to go hard at a basket.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're waiting for the contact and they, like, you know, sling it up.
Rocco.
Yeah, Rocco used to do that, right. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
There's so much to talk about this game, but what I see about this team, like I said before, they need to give the ball to Howard. Everybody's talking about Sanders. He's just not ready yet. You know, give the ball to Howard. Bring Sanders along. But they're doing just the opposite right now, and I don't know why. I'm hoping that's going
to
change.
All right, let's try to boil this down logically. Because I agree with you that on a level playing field, they should be giving the ball to Howard more. So ask yourself, why don't they do it?
Mike, it's not because it's something that they see in practice. They think
it has
guy,
to be. They don't have Mike, any. They don't Mike, have any faith Mike, in the guy.
They think, say, Deuce said that he's got shady like moves. They think that this guy is going to be their Shady, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley. That's what they think this guy is.
Miles Sanders, you're talking about.
But not now.
I get
not
it.
Now.
But if they had any confidence at all in Jordan Howard, they give him the ball more. They don't like him for whatever reason.
Who's getting more carries? It's Sanders.
Yeah, well, because they don't have faith in the other guy.
It's not that, Mike. Because they want this guy to be there.
Kevin, do you think that if they really believed that Jordan Howard could get them yards, they wouldn't give him the ball?
What I see is they need to reverse it and bring Sanders on slowly and give the ball to Howard. I even heard Barrett Brooks said the same thing. Give the ball to Howard. And let's let's punch some people in the mouth, give the ball to Howard, and let's see what happens.
All right. Do you believe they're stupid, the coaching staff?
I'm just trying to get the answer.
Kevin, listen, if there's a guy they thought could help them, they would give them the football. They don't have confidence in Howard. So ask yourself why.
Okay. Like I said, they think that Sanders is their Ezekiel Elliott.
So you're saying they're half stupid and that they would intentionally not give the ball to a guy who could really help them. That's what you're saying. And I don't believe that. There's something that holds them back on Jordan Howard, or they give him the freaking football. Now, maybe it's something as simple as, well, we can't use him in a passing game, so he's predictable, and we don't want to be predictable. That could be the only logical reason. Or it could be, gee, we thought he was better. Let's go to Matt in New York. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Marky, what's up, baby?
What's going on, Matt?
How about them Cowboys? Woo! I told you guys stink softer than a bunch of cotton candy lollipops over there. Can't practice. Don't want to show up for games. Your season is done. Stick a fork in ya.
You finished?
Yeah. Mike, you don't have anything smart to say?
No, I'm just letting you get out your stuff, whatever it is. Yeah.
Come on, Mikey. You're usually wittier than that, baby.
Yeah, I don't have any wit for you. Why would I waste it on you? I don't want to waste it. I have nothing. Who did Dallas beat yesterday?
Who'd
the Cowboys beat? I don't know.
I called you last week.
Who was it? Was it the worst team in the league?
They
played the worst team in the league yesterday? You're bragging? Is this last the day you got? You must have couillons to see you take them around in a wheelbarrow to call this show after the Cowboys beat the freaking Miami Dolphins. You carry your testicles around in a wheelbarrow, Matt. And I'm sure living in York, you got seven wheelbarrows to choose from.
They are big, Mike.
Get out of here. Let's go to Bud in Collegeville. Bud, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bud.
Gee, lucky me, I get to follow that idiot.
Yeah.
And Mike, all these people are so nervous. But to me, I just think they're two catches away from a perfect season so far.
Yeah, I can't look at it that way. It's ridiculous to look at it that way. They didn't make the catches. So what am I going to do? Yeah, I'm going to move the clock back? It makes no sense to say that.
Why? That's still the fact.
It's not the facts. They didn't make the play for a reason. They weren't good enough to make the play. All right? So I can't go, but if they would have caught this, you know, if your aunt was your uncle, she would make the pastries. I don't know. It's stupid.
The backups aren't good enough. They all agree.
Yeah, but it's stupid to say, well, if they would have made two catches, they would have. That's gone now. That notion's gone. You can't look back at, they're really a good team because, no, they're not right now. They're not. They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. Their D-backs can't cover.
I understand that. That's why you can't blitz if you can't cover.
I'm not going to cover it up by saying, well, if they would have made two catches, they'd be 3-0. It never works out that way, bro.
Yeah, but the thing that gets me, why did they even trade for Howard? I mean, he doesn't even fit this system at all. I mean, it's like you said, though. They can't put him in because it's too predictable.
Yeah, that's another misjudgment. Either he doesn't fit their system or they got him and they don't know what to do with him because they don't like him. One or the other. It's a misjudgment with Jordan Howard at this point.
And I'm over with Aguilar. I mean, I'm tired of hearing his excuses. Mm-hmm.
Michael?
They can package him in any trade they want.
Michael Franco.
Yep.
Thinks he's better than he is. He's 1A receiver. Enough. They spent $9 million to keep this guy on the roster.
He got the gall to say 1A receiver.
Yeah.
1A receiver. Just dropping the ball. The fumble was one of the weak fumbles. It wasn't like he was even ripped out. The guy kind of just flailed to make a tackle and happened to get his arm a little bit. He just let it go.
Yeah. See, if that ball Kawhi shot from the corner doesn't go in, Sixers might be NBA champions. You see what I mean? With this ridiculousness going back in time.
But no Sixers fans are thinking that. They're thinking,
my point is, you can't like reduce it to, well, if they would have caught ball. They didn't catch the ball for a reason. There's a reason why they didn't catch the ball. So you can't like assume that they're, you know,
Right.
I hate that rationale.
You're right, because if Aguilar could have caught it, that means he's a good receiver.
Exactly.
And he's not a good receiver.
Correct.
And same with Whiteside.
Right. 6'1", Ortega Whiteside.
I can't.
You got to go Ortega Whiteside.
Who?
Oh, you're just going Whiteside?
I can't.
You're not going to give the guy respect of the, like, Club Tyrone member?
I can't.
You're not going to give him the hyphen?
You caught two passes in two games? No.
So
he's starting receiver.
You abbreviate the guy's last name?
His name. Right, people do nicknames. They shorten.
Maybe.
He's only Whiteside.
Maybe you could
right
use an acronym.
And right now he's behind Hassan Whiteside.
Maybe you could use an acronym.
He's
J-J-A-W.
He's behind Joe Whiteside right now. You can't. All those snaps he played. He's out there. The quarterback's not even looking to him because he's not open at all. And I don't know if he really wants to get open because I think he's afraid if I get open, he'll throw it to me, and then there's a lot of pressure to catch it. I don't like where he doesn't look. He looks scared to me out there.
Yeah, he does. All right, 610-622-0975. Keep that number handy because when we come back, I'm going around the league. Yeah, around the NFL. And it is the backup goalie theory today. Backup goalie theory, which I ignored in my selections. And right now, I stink so bad that I refuse to make my picks on Friday. I'm looking for a substitute picker.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm Reese Hoskins. I got to bench myself.
Take yourself out the lineup.
Take myself so I can observe and learn. Mike Mastelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mastelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, that music. It means it's time for Around the NFL. Quick little journey through the NFL. Five thoughts across my mind as I watched NFL football. This is the backup goalie theory. You know, I've always had this theory in hockey. You play the backup goalie, the team rallies around him because they have to concentrate harder. And that was the case yesterday in the NFL. As teams rallied around new backup quarterbacks to win games. Backups who are now starters. Let's start with number five, Daniel Jones, the kid from Duke. Brings the New York Giants back from 18 points down. And he scores the game-winning touchdown, even though the Buccaneers' dopey kicker missed the chip-shot field goal that would have tied the game. Jones threw for 336 yards, two touchdowns. But the big highlight was his 7-yard TD dash with 1:16 left. The Giants won 32-31. Here's the play.
Jones is going to run it on a fake handoff. He's to the five. He's in. Touchdown, Giants. Daniel Jones. And then ran it in from 7 yards out.
That's a big play. That's worthy of a little more excitement there. Was that Bob Papa?
Yes, on the local
feed. Come on, Bob. Anyway, here's Matt Gay. He's got a 34-yard field goal. Now, Bruce Arians takes an intentional delay game penalty to push it back to his favorable distance, I guess. So here's Gay.
Snap, spot, kick on its way. And it's no good. He missed it. Wayne missed the kick. And the Giants win their first game of the season.
All right, that's more like it. The missed field goal, he gets excited. The touchdown, Daniel Jones, he gets excited. Right, number four. Who in the hell is Kyle Allen? I swear to God, I never heard of this guy. He's from Texas A&M, I guess. Is that where he's from? Anyway, he's the backup quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He had to play for the injured Cam Newton. All he does is come out and throws for 261 yards and four touchdowns as the Panthers have beat the Arizona Cardinals 38-20. Kyler Murray, 30 completions. But get this, it's only 173 yards. And Christian McCaffrey, Jesus, he's a stud. Here's a 76-yard gallop for a touchdown.
Second and two. It's a run play up the middle. McCaffrey, first down and more at the 30. Cuts left, 35-40. Races onto the 50 at the 45-40. He's outrunning Byron Murphy. He's at the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown. A 76-yard run by the speedster Christian McCaffrey.
White dude outrunning everybody, Tyrone.
White lightning.
White lightning. Number three, Drew Brees out. Time to rally around a guy who isn't Brees and really needs their help. That was the mantra for the Saints on Sunday as they win in rainy Seattle 33-27. Saints actually had a 33-7 lead in this game. Seattle scores 20 points in the fourth quarter to make it close. Bridgewater throws two touchdown passes in the game, including 29-yard screen pass to Alvin Kamara for the score.
Kamara in the backfield. Blitz is coming. Kamara on the screen pass, and he's got a lot of room. 20, gets hit 15, 10, 5, bounces off of two tacklers, and he goes in. Alvin Kamara.
All right, enough of the backups. Big matchup yesterday. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Mahomes wins the battle. He threw for 374, three touchdowns. Kansas City won 33-27. What happened to this spin move touchdown run by Jackson? Let's hear it.
Shotgun. Jackson out of the pocket. Jackson trying to run for it. Jackson avoids. Spins. He's in. Touchdown. Lamar Jackson is elusive.
You saw it on video. That was a sweet move. Shady McCoy, Darrell Williams combined for 116 yard rush for the Chiefs. No Damian Williams in this game. The Shady tweaked an already injured ankle. He had to come out. And number one, finally, Deshaun Watson. Is he the Michael Jordan of the NFL? Close. He's amazing. Throws for 351 and three touchdowns. No interceptions. Texans beat the Chargers 27-20. Play of the game is Watson somehow slipping out of trouble, much like our pal number five, we always loved you, back in the day. And he found tight end Jordan Atkins, who took it in for a 53-yard touchdown.
Second and 10. Here comes Ingram. And again, Watson escapes. Over the middle, it's cut. Atkins wide open real estate. And the tight end rumbles in for the touchdown.
The tight end always rumbles. That'd be a lesson to you kids out there. He doesn't run in, he rumbles in. And that is around the NFL for today. All right, let's go back to the phones. Oh, wait, we got a lineup tonight. Hey, Phillies are still playing?
Yes.
Phillies tonight?
Got
against,
a lot of
Washington?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, now, the manager admitted they have to win out. He said it out loud after yesterday. So this is the lineup after he says, win out.
So yesterday, who pitched yesterday?
Velasquez
pitched yesterday.
Yeah, didn't get any help with defense. No, he wasn't great, but tons of errors. It was a sloppy game.
And they bring in, in the overthinking department, they bring Cole Irvin to pitch to Puig with the bases loaded. Because Puig apparently hits left-handers worse than he hits right-handers.
I guess.
And it backfired. Double. Three runs. Game open. But tonight's lineup has... what's his nickname? El Mambo. El Mambo's leading off tonight. El Mambo, Segura, Harp, Jetpacks, Hoskins back in the four hole. Your favorite player is in the lineup hitting fifth. Jose Perella.
Sure.
Hernandez hitting sixth. Hayes Matt, seven. Andrew Knapp's back in the lineup. Come on, man. You got to win out.
Win out.
They got Andrew Knapp.
So you go Perella and Knapp. Win out.
All right. Eflin on the mound tonight.
Doubleheader. So I guess he's starting because there's a doubleheader tomorrow.
Who? Knapp?
Yeah. Doubleheader tomorrow. Maybe they're going to try day-night doubleheader. Maybe they're going to try to start him. I don't know.
Seriously, JT, you need to rest JT now. You got to win every game. Come on, dude. Seriously. Tim in Lehigh Valley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Tim?
Dude, I wanted to know if you have ever... I think this entire team is just a big bag of phonies. And I don't know, you started the year, defensive line, awesome. Receivers, awesome. And I want to know if you've ever seen the team dupe the league and dupe the fan base as bad as this team. And I don't want to beat the horse dead, but they're doing the opposite of putting in this kid Miles Sanders' head. They're giving him reason to feel shaky. They're not run. He bounces outside, gets tackled for a loss.
No, he didn't do that in this game. He ran north-south.
What was his yards per carry average on this game?
It was actually over four.
It was over four.
Yeah.
And that was the first time he did that this year.
Yeah, he had a yardage-wise, he had a decent game, but you can't fumble. You gave him short fields twice.
But did they immediately go to LeSean McCoy when they got him his rookie year? Was he in the game? Was he the starting running back his rookie
year? Yeah, they went to him right away.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand.
Well, Westbrook was at the tail end and Shady.
It's like they're blindly giving him all this faith in the world. And I think they need to kind of take a step back and say, hey, maybe that's not the right call. Maybe this kid's not ready.
I don't know. Listen, he fumbled first, right? So there are two schools of thought. One is you go away from him. But since they don't believe in Jordan Howard, it's probably not an option. So the second thought is, you get him right back on a horse. You know, he fumbled once, now he's going to do it again. He'd learn from the fumble, so you go right back to him to give him confidence. That's what they were doing. Once he puts it on the ground twice, you can't go back to him at all. You can't even have him return kicks. It's dangerous.
It's dangerous, yeah, because I think it's in his mind, man. And then, do you think this team is phony? I mean, we started out the year.
It's too early to say, but right now it looks like we've overvalued them a little bit.
They had odds in Vegas. I mean, this team's garbage in my mind.
Yeah, we counted. See, here's the thing, that they counted on their defensive line being better than it's been. There's no question. In three games, they've kind of been absent.
And they thought.
So I don't think anybody thought that would happen.
And they thought middle pressure, and Jackson gets hurt literally in the first game. They thought they would get more middle pressure this year.
Right.
And that's why they let Chris Long go. They wouldn't be moving guys inside. Jackson gets hurt the first game. And maybe they haven't worked it out yet and something will happen. But it has to happen Thursday.
I'm not really optimistic about, Barnett, I've lost confidence that he can stay healthy. He's always nicked up. Cox doesn't look like the same Cox. I'm sorry. I know they're double teaming him and all that stuff. He's not as dominant as he used to be. Now, maybe that's because he's coming off the injury. Maybe it's because he's taken a lot of pounding, that dude. A lot of pounding over how many straight years now? Eight? A lot of pounding defensive tackle for 8 years.
Seven?
It's
28.
This is his eighth?
Yeah. And he had that off-season surgery. That when the injury happens, problematic, I think. It unfortunately happens in a playoff game.
Brandon Graham still this, or is he like that?
You're probably right. The only question is, he didn't take a lot of snaps early.
Yeah, see, you got to make those kind of value judgments. Now, they decided to go with Brandon Graham. He had a decent year last year. Never been a double-digit sack guy, though. So, is he going to be a double-digit sack guy at an older age? No? So maybe they made a misjudgment. Dave, Northeast, you're on 97.5. Right, hold on a second, Dave. We are up against a break. You will be the next call. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:47, Mike Missinelli Show. Before we get back to Dave in the Northeast, a firefighter yesterday took a shot at Aguilar, a hero firefighter, right? He helped, or just a Philadelphia man. Was it just a man?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? All right, so there was a burning building, and they were tossing the baby out the window?
Yes.
Baby's out the window?
Yeah.
So they interviewed the guy. He wasn't. Was he a fire guy or not? Just
no. He was just a civilian. Yeah,
a civilian. All right. Yeah. So they were trying to save as many babies as they could. So they were throwing him out the window, and he was catching them.
Yeah, right? He was. Yeah.
So he was interviewed afterwards. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the matter?
We're just
got a little technical thing in here.
Oh yeah.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. It's your voice is dubbed.
I think you're what you call it's held down.
What is
your talkback button stuck?
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh,
sorry.
I was trying to diagnose why this was happening in real time.
My talk back was stuck. How long has that been stuck?
Since you just started talking.
So I'm looking around why is this happening?
Oh, yeah, I did it.
It was right before, so I'm looking why is this happening while you were talking.
It was double. It sounded like it was you and then the voice of God.
Yeah, it's my bad. But anyway, so this guy's catching the babies, and here's what he had to say when he was interviewed.
I seen a guy hanging out the window, you know, screaming that his kids was in there and things like that. So I ran to the back door, see if it was open, and it was. I ran upstairs, and then I was greeted with smoke. I ran back downstairs. By that time, the ladder truck was pulling up, and ironically, being one of my old co-workers took the ladder off the truck, raised it up, and was assisting people down. My man just started throwing babies out the window. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
He said we were catching him, not like Aguilar.
Unlike Aguilar.
Unlike Aguilar.
Uh-huh. So think about it. This man has saved babies' lives. And top of mind is to get a shot in on Aguilar.
That's
that
not right,
night.
Man.
And then there's an extended clip
out there where he goes in more.
And he goes, really? And he goes, and his mishaps, I just have to get that out there, too. Wow. And he looks directly into the camera, and it's so funny. Now, I've watched it like 65 times. Now, it's hysterical.
Now, that guy's name is Hakeem Laws, and I've been working on getting him on the show because I want to find out, you're good at this stuff.
Yes.
Why was that top of mind after saving babies' lives?
Because the Eagle loss was still in his craw, obviously.
Still at the top of his mind.
All right, Dave in the Northeast. Dave, thanks for hanging. Go ahead.
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing,
Tyrone?
Good, buddy.
Let me turn my radio down. So, this is the deal. Now the Eagles got to go get some of them losses and turn them into wins. The at the Vikings, the home against the Patriots, Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're going to have to do. Or they're going to be 9-7 or 10-6 and be on the road and have a tough road.
Mm-hmm.
Between Howard and Miles, the only thing I can think of is he's looking great in practice, and that's not translating into the game. Miles Sanders, yes.
Yeah, well, he's not getting hit.
And it's not translating, and that might be, you know, that might be on the coach or the coach's staff.
Yeah, he's not getting hit to fumble in practice.
I mean, you need to start taking that into account. You know what really worried me? Dallas Goedert. I mean, I know he's coming off calf injury, but that should have nothing to do with the way you're catching the ball.
Yeah, it kind of does because, listen, he was a game-time decision, right? So they're testing his calf. Well, let me just explain. I'll just tell you what made me in his head. I'm not excusing him because you should catch the ball once you're in the field. But he's like, all right, can he play? Can he not? All right, we're going to give it a go. And so it's in his head that his calf is injured. So his concentration to that extent may not be as sharp as you would like because he's thinking about re-injuring the calf.
But, Mike, his muscle memory has been in football since probably peewee.
He's muscle memory without an injured calf.
But if somebody throws you a football over your left shoulder, how is your hand placement going to be? It was terrible.
I hear what you're saying, but you don't face NFL defenses when you're catching a football.
He was wide open.
I'm just trying to explain to you that his concentration may not have been 100% because he's worried about the injury. I'm not excusing him, but I'm saying it could be a factor on why he didn't catch that ball.
Well, I will say this. I went through the games today. I looked. With the roster being in place it is right now, this team's 9-7 at best. They're not going to win. They're not going to win at the Vikings. They're not going to win at home against the Patriots. That game at Buffalo is starting to look a lot harder than it did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a roster move made, or you can be content with what you have, and you'll be 9-7 trying to sneak into the playoffs again.
Yeah. Listen, I hear you. So I want to go down this because if they lose the Green Bay, do you think they'll lose the Green Bay?
I mean, yeah.
All right. It's 1-3. Now, let me give you I'm just looking at the amount of losses they could have to be viable, okay? Now, they're 1-3 and at Minnesota, at Dallas, at Buffalo.
So, I'll give them one of those three games.
All right, so that's two more losses. That's five losses. Relax. Hold on. That's five losses. Now, Patriots, Seattle.
I'll give them one of them games.
Six losses. Best they can do is 10-6, according to you. 10-6 may get you in the playoffs. Not going to get you any home field. No, wait, you know what I'm saying about the Goddard thing? If you play any kind of sport, and you know if you do a certain action, your brain says, oh, that's going to hurt. Now, I'm not saying it should happen to professional athletes because they're at a higher level. But Goddard is, as the ball's in the air, the thought may have crossed his mind, oh, I got to leap for this, that's going to hurt the kid. You know? And then just that little lapse in concentration makes him miss that catch.
It could, and he was a decoy pretty much the whole game, and they let him go, so he goes wide open, and he has to throw it, but he hadn't caught, he hadn't had any reps catching the ball early in the game where he would be. So it's no excuse, like you said.
No, it's not an excuse.
But I can see how it happens.
You should be mentally strong enough to get past that. He's a young player. He's a game-time decision. He might, like, he was close to not playing. So he's in the game, and he's going, okay, I got to brace here and leap on this leg. That's the calf. The brain goes, that's going to hurt, Dallas. And just think 20% of the mental thought is that. 80% is you're going to catch the ball. Well, 20% messes you up.
That can happen, clearly.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.